taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. I am your conductor, Joseph Ward, and today I'm riding solo, but it's all good. We still have a great show for you today. Remember, the Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc., and PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. And once again, that's pactsinc.org. And while you're online, as we always say, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about your favorite shows, learn more about our guests, and to hear the playbacks. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain and subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast on iTunes and Google Play Music. And that way you don't have to go looking for the podcast. It will come right to your phone. So today, we have a special interview for you today. We are interviewing the committee for the Tallahassee Community Healing Days. And on the mic, we have one of my former professors, a woman that I learned a lot from, Dr. Huberta Jackson-Lohman. How are you doing today, Dr. Jackson-Lohman?
I'm struggling with a cold, but I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. And my audience, they're waiting to hear more and more and more about Tallahassee Community Healing Days because I've been talking about it. And we want to make sure that people really understand what's going on here and why this Community Healing Days is happening and why we're here in Tallahassee and why we want to make sure that our communities are uplifted, our communities are well when we're moving into the future. So before we actually get into the actual questions, can you give us a little background information about yourself and background information about Community Healing Days and why, what brought about Community Healing Days and why we're here?
Okay. Well, I'm not necessarily a Tallahassee native, but I've lived here for 20 years.
Okay.
So I guess I should be almost considered that. And I have been on the faculty of the Department of Psychology here at Florida A&M University during that time. Also, currently I'm serving as the president-elect of the Association of Black Psychologists, which is a national organization that focuses on African psychology and on addressing those issues that are important to the mental health and to the liberation of African minds.
Okay, and that's something that I'm interested in, and I know our audience is interested in, and what we need in our community, because mental health especially is something that we don't really talk about, we don't want to talk about, we don't want to discuss.
That's true.
I was doing a presentation earlier, and I was telling the group that I was talking to, when a person's psyche is fractured, if you think about it, when you break your leg and you don't fix, you don't go to the doctor to get it actually cast up and healed, it's going to grow and heal how it heals.
Yes.
And you can't necessarily control how it heals because you didn't
Absolutely.
Put any treatment. So the mentality, the psyche is the same way. If something happens and it's fractured, if you don't go get any real treatment, it's going to heal how it heals.
That's absolutely the case, and there's more and more evidence that kind of supports that. And what we need to understand is that the oppression that we have experienced has gone on for almost 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the research, particularly research in terms of neuroscience, is documenting that at the level of our DNA, of our genes, that we are affected by that trauma.
Okay.
And that it increases our responsiveness to stress and places us oftentimes on very high alert in situations, which means that we can't really learn the way we might learn if we were able to be relaxed,
okay.
If we were able to feel safe and secure in the settings that we happen to be in.
Okay. And I want to touch on that a little later in the interview, but the first question is, what is Community Healing Days, and what's the purpose behind the creation of Community Healing Days?
Okay, and just to give you a little background, this initiative was initiated by Enola Aird, and the Community Healing Network, which is an organization that comes out of New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay.
And they had, at that time when they initiated it in 2008, they had Dr. Maya Angelou on their advisory board. And one of the things that Dr. Angelou was advocating is that we as people of African ancestry need to put healing on our agenda.
Right.
We need to have a time to address the fact that we haven't dealt with our need to recover from the traumas that we have historically experienced and the ones that we continue to experience, and traumas that have been passed down multi-generationally.
Okay. Okay, and when we, and I like the way you put it, trauma multi-generationally, because I was having a conversation with a young lady earlier, and we were talking about the term people use, generational curse.
Yeah.
And often when you put, in my opinion, if you put that title, generational curse, on a traumatic situation, people who may not truly understand what's going on may think that that generational curse is something out of their control that they can't fix or turn around, and it kind of, to me, it kind of seems as if people are feeling like they're handicapped in changing their mentality or changing anything because you're saying it's a generational curse.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're saying that that trauma, it kind of gives it a more, I guess you could say, a human feel. This is something that I can't change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what makes Community Healing Days something, and outside of the mental health realm, what makes it something that is useful and important for Black America today?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, that it is critically important that we take time out to address the traumas that we continue to experience in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we need safe places in order to do that. Community Healing Days tries to raise our awareness and our consciousness about the fact that we have for, as I said, almost 400 years been dealing with an oppression that's basically brainwashed us to believe that we are inferior.
Right.
And to believe that whites are superior to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that operates not just consciously, but also unconsciously. It operates not just in terms of the larger dominant society, but it also operates in terms of the African American community. So very often what we see is that we are supporting the myths and the stereotypes that they proclaim about who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to begin to change that. We need to help people to recognize what the truth is about our history and about who we are, so we can begin to tap into our potential and to our possibilities.
Yes, that is so important, in my opinion, us knowing who we are and understanding the traumas that we go through. I often see people, they say they don't want to necessarily teach their young children about slavery and about the traumas because they want to help maintain their innocence. But in my opinion, that innocence, if they want to call it that, or that childlike mind state can still be taken away from them with them not really understanding the ills that's within this world. All it takes is some adult or some older person who can prey upon that child.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're saying, like we were both saying, healing, especially in our community, healing is not something that, mental healing is not something that we seek out. So if the cycle of trauma continues, then that generation, the next generation, will have these same ways to react into the trauma and living with this trauma and this stress.
In fact, it actually worsens.
Okay.
And just to speak on the analogy that you just shared with us, it would be like, in terms of not preparing our children to deal with the racism that exists in our society.
Right.
On a very simplistic level, it could be like, I don't want to let my child know that sometimes we have storms.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it rains. I'm not going to give you a raincoat. I'm not going to give you anything to help you to be able to protect yourself to whatever degree possible in those circumstances. And I think that is very unfair to our children to just kind of send them out there unprotected, uninformed about the kind of society that we live in.
Yes, it is.
And when I think about it, because I work in HIV/AIDS on a regular basis, and I see children and adults who were pushed out into the world with no real information about how the world actually works, and I see it from all different angles, especially when they're traumatized by certain situations or people. Okay. So, back in 2012, not too long ago, that was the first time the Tallahassee community hosted Community Healing Day.
Right.
So, how did the Tallahassee community become involved in Community Healing Days?
I'm not sure if I remember. but I think basically I just invited people who I thought might be interested in this agenda to come to the table to begin to lay out a plan for how we can implement that in Tallahassee.
Okay.
The Association of Black Psychologists had partnered with the Community Healing Network, and they had come to our national organization and asked that we try to encourage our chapters to implement it. And so I thought, well, okay, this is something I think that would certainly be very beneficial to the Tallahassee community, and so I just invited people to come and to join in the planning of Community Healing Days.
Okay. And you mentioned the you mentioned the Community Healing Network.
Yes, that's the organization that actually created Community Healing Days.
Okay, okay. And overall, how long has Community Healing Days been held?
Well, it actually started in about 2008.
Okay.
And with, I think it was in Montclair, New Jersey, and in Tuskegee, Alabama. And now it's implemented in about 135 cities across the nation.
Okay. Okay, so this question is off the beaten path, but what would you say to people who are reluctant to participate in an event like this because of the negative connotations that are associated with mental health? How would you help that person kind of get over the stigma that's associated with mental health to come actually learn how to heal?
Well, the issues that we have in terms of mental health don't just affect the African-American community, actually. I think, and I can't remember the precise statistics in relationship to it, but that a significant percentage of the population will experience some kinds of mental health kinds of issues during their lifetime, kind of thing. Now, we can just kind of stick our head under the rug or whatever, so to speak, and refuse to address it, but that, of course, is only going to exacerbate the problems and the challenges that come from not dealing with it. Every time we have major crises with people doing things like killing folks and things of that sort, a lot of times what it goes back to is these unaddressed mental health issues.
Right. Okay. So this is the fifth year that Community Healing Days will be held in Tallahassee. And this year's theme is Our Sacred Legacy, Healing Through Spirit and Self-Determination. So why was this particular theme chosen for this year, and why is spirit and self-determination essential to help improve the mental health of the black community or black America?
Well, I have actually... one of the persons who helped to generate our theme here. One of the things that I think that we need to appreciate is that we do have a legacy.
Right.
And we do have a history. And many times people think that our history begins with our enslavement. We are the mothers and the fathers, actually, of humanity and of civilization. And we have laid the foundation in so many ways for other civilizations to develop. So we need to understand and appreciate that who we are is not defined by slavery. In fact, slavery was a condition. It's not our identity. And so that's one of the things that we need to recognize. And that in part also that we need to recognize that we are a very spiritual people.
Yes.
And we need to tap into the strengths that spirituality provides for us to help us to overcome the challenges that we're facing. And of course, self-determination is important for any group of people who consider themselves to be free. If you can't be self-determining, you're not free. So I think that what we're trying to say in that theme is that we need to draw on that legacy to facilitate our healing. We need to tap into our essence as spiritual beings so that we can manifest self-determination.
Okay. Do you, when we're speaking about spirituality, do you think that these modern religious systems need to be done away with for us to truly get a or regain the sense of our spirituality?
Well, no, I'm not sure that I would suggest that they have to be done away with. I think that we have to strip away from them those things that are not necessarily accurate and true. You know, there are things that I think that within the context of some of the modern religious systems that are contributing to our mental oppression and to our failure to really appreciate and understand all that we are, what our possibilities happen to be. So I think it would be wonderful if we could get everybody to appreciate our traditional African spiritual practices and beliefs. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think that if we are able to at least take a very clear-eyed look at the ways that our religious systems have contributed to our oppression and trying to at least address that, we will go a long ways.
Right. Yeah, because I know around the country now we have a couple of the organizations, as you can say, the Black Rights organizations, going up into churches and kind of doing, I call it church checking, though.
Yeah.
So, see how that turned out. Okay, so Tallahassee Community Healing Days has been in Tallahassee. This year we'll make the fifth year.
Yes.
In your opinion, how has this Tallahassee community received Community Healing Days? How have they, I guess you could say, enjoyed the events from your standpoint? And how has Community Healing Days, in your opinion, helped improve the condition of the Tallahassee community or the people who attended the events?
Okay. Well, I think in terms of people who have attended the events, we've always gotten very enthusiastic, very positive responses from those who have been in attendance. I think that we still have the challenge of being able to reach out to our community and to truly get them engaged and involved in our Community Healing Days activities. But for those that we've been able to reach, they have been very appreciative of it, and they've wanted a lot more.
Okay.
And actually, Community Healing Days is only supposed to be a springboard for creating ongoing healing spaces in our community. The Emotional Emancipation Circles, for example, were to be an outcome of this. So we are attempting to raise consciousness about the need for our healing, the need for us to address the impact of the myth of Black inferiority and white superiority on us, and to help us to begin to embrace a fuller understanding of who we are.
Okay. Okay. I know when I'm the Tallahassee that I see, the Tallahassee that I'm in on a regular basis, I want to make sure that they come be able to come to this event and be able to see something different, because a lot of times the people that I come across on a regular basis, they just need to see something different. They just need to receive a new program, because it's almost as if we're supposed to be sick. We're supposed to be dying early. When you get 30, that's middle age. 30 is not middle age.
Yeah.
I saw Bill Nunn, Radio Raheem, just died at the age of 62.
Right.
And that scares me, because that's the age of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so just thinking about the way we live now, and especially like in this immediate community, how important this event is to help change the psyche of people. Because if they come to this event and actually use the information that's given, you can extend somebody's life.
Yes. And absolutely, absolutely. In fact, we tried to design the event, and this is something coming from the Community Healing Network, in such a way that we're addressing all aspects of our health. So on Friday nights, we are focusing on how we can help to raise consciousness around the issues of our oppression, racism, and the impact of the myth of black inferiority and white superiority. On Saturday in the morning, we have a variety of activities that are focused on physical health, like yoga and Tai Chi, African dance. This year we'll have ninjutsu, and let's see, what am I missing? And then we also will have workshops that address mental health issues like family wellness, and we have our nutrition workshop, and we'll be doing also a community healing circle.
Okay.
And then in the evening, we will be holding another kind of panel discussion where we are going to talk about building an agenda for the African American community, because one of the things that is truly a deficit for us as people of African ancestry is that we don't have a collective agenda.
We don't.
You know, we're not working collectively to achieve some particular aims that are going to uplift us as African people. So we're going to begin to talk about, you know, what would a collective agenda look like for us.
Right. Yeah, that's what we talk about all the time at PAX, and of course you allowed me to come present my urban development plan, and that's what that's all about, being able to have that collective idea, those collective thoughts as a community, so we can get the resources we need, be able to respond correctly, be able to protect ourselves correctly, be able to heal ourselves correctly. Because right now, if you look at it on a national scale, we don't have the resources we need. I think here locally, this hurricane kind of brought everything to light.
Yes.
We can't necessarily provide ourselves basic necessities as a community, because we don't have the resources, the infrastructures, or the industry. So that's another reason why I love this event, because it incorporates so many different aspects of health that we overlook as black people. Mental health is one. Cardiovascular health, you know, just the smallest things, being able to see, being able to breathe correctly, because when you see the elders with the breathing machine things, and you're asking yourself, how did this person get to this point?
Well, right.
Some damage was done.
Yes.
And us learning how to either reverse that damage that's within us that are of age, or just break the cycle, period, so our youth won't continue this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, why did you decide to become a part of Community Healing Days? And how have you used the information that you learned from Community Healing Days to help enhance your personal health?
Well, gee, as far as why I got involved in it, it's because I also felt that this was something that might begin to facilitate a collective mindset, a understanding of what the most critical issues are and have been in terms of keeping us, holding us down, as Tom Burrell says, at the top of the bad list and at the bottom of the good list.
Okay.
You know, so I saw this, and I think this whole myth of black inferiority, because it really starts with the mind. You know, because what you believe, you know, influences everything else that you're going to do. You're going to perceive your environment based on whatever that belief system happens to
That's
be.
Correct.
And so we have to do something to address the damage to us that has occurred at the mental level, so that we can change the behaviors that we exhibit. Now, as for myself, I don't know if I can say anything more. I mean, I think that it's made me much more conscious of the fact that maintaining my own health and well-being has to occur on many levels. You know, I have to address physical health, and you have to address mental health. You have to address issues around social support and things of that sort. But all of those things are essential to our health and well-being.
Okay.
So we you know, don't want to neglect any aspect of that if we're going to stay healthy.
Okay. Being that you are in the mental health field, locally or within the area, what resources are available for, say, parents who may have young children who need some type of mental healing? What type of resources would be available for those children?
That's a really good question. And I think that that's also one of the major issues we have is having adequate resources mm-hmm. to address the needs of our children who have mental health issues. I mean, we have a few black psychologists and therapists in the area, and we have, I guess, the various institutions here in the area. But I think what's really important is that the care that we're providing for our children, for our families, that care be provided by people who are culturally competent
right.
and who understand something about who we are and can really reach out and relate to people of African ancestry. So there's certain knowledge that they have to have, certain skills that they need to have, mm-hmm. and a level of awareness even of their own internalized biases and things of that sort, which can exist both in people of African ancestry as well as non-African.
Right.
I would say we need to be aware of that. And the you know, one of the things that I believe it was Francis Cress Welsing that said this, that basically all the problems that we have as African people, we can trace them back to racism.
Right. Now that is true, because racism is systematic racism at that.
Exactly.
You know, it's something that has plagued us since, I call it white contact, since I'll say the late 1400s,
uh-huh.
When we were enslaved, but also because Africa has been raped on all sides.
Exactly.
We don't like to talk about the Jewish slave trade or Arabic slave trade and all those things that go into the psyche of the African, not just in America, but around the world.
Like mm-hmm.
We really need healing around the world. Because
absolutely.
This, you can see it in the... like I take nursing students on what we call them ghetto safaris, and we just go through the different rough spots of the cities. But when we get out and we go talk to the people, and we first of all, this is one of the first times that people in these what they call high risk areas have been humanized.
Yeah.
So when you actually go get to talk to somebody
mm-hmm.
and you realize, well, this is a human being just like you.
Exactly.
They just have had issues and may not have had access to resources to heal those
exactly.
issues the same way you have. But
mm-hmm.
It still goes both ways, because you have the person who then the what would be described as the dire situation. But then you also have the person who's supposed to be in a higher position still having that inferiority mindset
mm-hmm.
toward their counterpart, because
mm-hmm.
you're not where I am, even though we're both in the same skin. And if white supremacy comes in, they're going to put us in the same box. So, bless you. So, when it, like, psychological, mental healing, we were, like we're saying, we were damaged by the transatlantic slave trade.
Yeah.
Besides mental health, or even within the mental health realm, what are some strategies and techniques that are often used to help with healing for those who do have the chance to go get healing? What strategies or tactics are used within the counseling sessions or within the therapy sessions to help people recover or get over the post-traumatic stress slavery syndrome?
That's a really complicated question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still very much wedded to Western ways of treating people.
Oh, okay.
And that also is part of the problem. So, you know, most of those who have been trained as healers, as psychologists, as therapists, whatever, we're still pretty much operating using those particular theories
mm-hmm.
and ways of intervening, which might be things like individual therapy. And, you know, one of the things that we know as people of African ancestry is that we are a collective people.
Mm-hmm.
So that particular model is really not even a model that would be considered to be
okay.
Compatible with who we are, but
okay.
we use that model.
Right.
we don't, I think probably the models that work most effectively for us would be group and family kinds of models,
okay.
And then community-based kinds of interventions.
Okay.
Excuse me. We also, things like music, things like dance,
okay.
For us, these have always been ways that facilitated healing,
right.
For us. Ritual, these would be the strategies that if we were operating using our own methodologies, then we would be doing more of those kinds,
okay.
Of things. I'm not so sure that we do that, and there are very few people that actually do that. And because we don't have that freedom, we're,
mm-hmm.
still very controlled by the regulating, those who are regulating,
okay.
What it is that we should be doing,
okay.
When we are offering intervention to people who are seeking our help.
Okay. And because that's what I was going to ask, is the, I guess you could say, the field or the section of psychology that is Black psychology,
mm-hmm.
Is it a growing entity within the psychological field? And if so, is it being hindered any way by the overall system?
Well, you know, yeah, definitely it's hindered. It is growing. Actually, I just got back from South Africa, and I had an opportunity to interact with psychologists there who have created the form of African psychology,
mm-hmm.
on African psychology, and who are also moving away from Western psychology and trying to become much more grounded in the indigenous kinds of healing strategies that exist. They exist all around them. So they are even beginning to engage in this process of Sankofa, or recovery,
okay.
of those things that we have lost. But what was the question?
About the I forgot.
Okay.
We got into that now. But now the Black psychology. I remember now. The field of Black psychology. How is it growing? And
yeah.
Is it being hindered by the overall system?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's definitely being hindered because if you're going and pursuing your doctorate. It is extremely unlikely that you're going to take any courses,
okay.
that have to do with African psychology.
Okay.
And so they're going to basically, completely brainwash you in terms of those strategies. And of course, you're going to feel like that's,
mm-hmm.
Where your area of competence is.
Right.
And then we come back out into the community, and then we start to apply those things to our community, and they don't work.
Right.
But we're still continuing to do that.
Right.
So yes, we're very much hindered. I think Florida A&M University is probably one of the very, very few institutions that offers any courses around Black African psychology.
Right, right. Because I tell people all the time, as a graduate of the psychology program, I didn't expect to learn as much about African history and culture as I did in the psychology program. And because people always ask, well, so you must have majored in history. No, psychology, but I had the chance to, like yourself and other professors who actually took the time and the extra effort to make sure that we understood everything that goes into us being who we are and all the entities that are working against us.
Exactly. And so, we have to understand that, there is no psychology without history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even on an individual level, if you're functioning even out of a Western perspective, the first thing we do is take a history.
Right.
Now, the history doesn't go back far enough. The history is maybe limited to that individual's history,
mm-hmm.
but how are we going to have psychology without history?
Right.
And so we understand, of course, that our history, and I think about this in terms of a model that was developed by a Yoruba philosopher, and he talks about things like ancestral self,
mm-hmm.
and the connections that we have to our ancestors,
okay.
and he talks about the connection to the environment, totem self, and things of this,
mm-hmm.
sort. So our African thinkers take a much broader view of all those things that go into us being who we are.
Okay.
And so, and you see this, you know, manifested in terms of how they interact and the things that they do on the continent, even though many of them may have lost consciousness in terms of, or awareness
mm-hmm.
of why it is
right.
that they are doing what they're doing.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So, outside of, like I said, outside of, we know the mental health, because that is a focus because of the background, but in your opinion, what are some of the more prevalent health issues within our community, and will those be addressed during Community Healing Days?
Well, we are basically taking a prevention-oriented kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not necessarily specifically addressing, you know, conditions
right.
like, you know, cardiovascular
mm-hmm.
conditions or hypertension and things of that sort. We have had people to come in and do testing, those
right.
kinds of things. And in the past, we've had that to occur. But our approach is prevention. If we can begin to adopt a healthier lifestyle, you know, and we want to expose people to the options that exist out there. So, you know, many of us may not be exposed to things like yoga or Tai Chi
right.
or Jiu-Jitsu or African dance. But these things can facilitate healing
mm-hmm.
in a lot of different ways. So we're trying to basically kind of expose people to a variety of different things that hopefully they will be inspired to kind of go and begin to, you know, seek out classes
okay.
in the community in relationship too.
Okay. Now I know one thing that's on a lot of the listeners' minds who are gonna hear this. How did you get ninjutsu incorporated, and who's teaching it, and is he black?
Definitely black.
Okay.
Definitely black. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this year, we had one of our committee members who's
mm-hmm.
trained in
okay.
ninjutsu.
Okay.
So that was how we were able to do it this year. But this is actually the first time. But we've actually had capoeira
okay.
In the past. When my son was living here, he's a capoeirista. And so he did that. So we tried to introduce him to things that perhaps maybe they may not have been knowledgeable about
okay.
or aware of in the past.
Okay. And that's interesting, because if people actually dig further back into our past and see the influence of African people around the globe,
mm-hmm.
everything stems back to the continent. Even
yes.
ninjutsu is rooted in the African arts, the African martial arts that spread
yes.
around the world.
Exactly. Exactly.
I forgot the guy's name. He said we've already been there, done that, got the T-shirt before everybody else even woke up. So.
Right.
Okay. So, what tips would you give to our listeners to help them improve their health physically, psychologically, and spiritually?
Physically. Well, that's a big question. I think the best course of action is always prevention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they say, a stitch in time saves nine.
Right.
So we need to, I think we need to look at this holistically. We need to look at our diet, you know, what it is that we eat, and work on our food being our medicine rather than our poison.
Okay.
And we certainly need to work on being more physically active. There are a lot of things that can be solved, and even things like depression
okay.
Can be ameliorated or lessened even through just physical activity.
Right.
Now, if you can just get up out of the bed and start walking
mm-hmm.
doing something, that's the issue, obviously. But the physical activity is very important.
Okay.
Having spaces and places where we can talk about the issues that are impacting us on a daily basis. If we continue just to kind of stuff things down, kind of thing. We have to recognize that our emotions have a biochemical basis.
Okay.
And so whatever emotions we're stuffing down, they have an impact. They're affecting our various organ systems.
Okay.
And so we need to be aware of the importance of being able to articulate the issues and things that we are dealing with. We need to also, I was just reminded by my colleagues here, drinking more water.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, we drink soda.
Right.
And even juice is not necessarily that great, but drinking more water. And another colleague who just pointed out the importance of African self-fortification.
Okay.
Yes, that's extremely important. By African self-fortification, what we mean is that we need to study, we need to learn about who we are as people of African mm-hmm. ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
That means we have to read. That means that we need to participate in events and activities that are going to contribute to a deeper understanding and appreciation of who we are, maybe rituals and things of that sort. That means that we have to prepare our children, we mentioned earlier, in terms of things like racial as well as cultural socialization. Because racial socialization prepares us to deal with racism.
Right.
Cultural socialization is really focused more on our identity.
Okay.
And understanding and appreciating who we are. So we need to this is what we have to do collectively. We've got to begin to build institutions.
Yes, we do.
I mean, that's just kind of like the bottom line.
Yes.
You know, we are walking around completely uncovered, unprotected
yes.
as a people.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And as long as we don't have institutions, then we can't hold each other accountable, and we don't have the support that we need. In fact, we're always trying to do this on an individual basis.
True.
Trying to do things individually, and that also is a great source of stress.
Right.
If I have to solve everything myself, and there are no institutions that I can turn to that are going to handle some of these issues. I mean, I always say that we like to, every time there's an issue, we create a committee.
Right.
So we create a committee, and maybe we go out and we protest, and then when we feel like everything's okay, then we go back home. Well, then the issue, of course, rears its ugly head
mm-hmm.
again.
And we're back
and then we're back
right.
doing
the
same
cycle.
Thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And
uh-huh.
and it's critical that like you say, we be able to build, because like you said, when you have individuals trying to fight a system,
yes.
you're gonna lose, the individuals are gonna lose every time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So this is our last question, and this is our world famous question that we always ask everybody. And so start off with a little drum roll. I let our drum roll drop. Alright, so if you were the all powerful ruler of Black America, what would you change and what would your message be?
I'm just trying to remember the words of Bob Marley. But basically, well, actually, they were Marcus Garvey's words. They were not, and Bob Marley made the song from it. But emancipate your mind, essentially. But I think everything begins with that. We have to emancipate our mind from the lies and the myths that have been perpetuated about us. You know, I think once we are free of those kinds of conceptions of who we are, then our possibilities are very vast.
Okay.
You know, so that would be the first thing I would do. Is just free your mind and your body will follow.
Right. We have to. That mental freedom will allow everything else to open up. But it also allows a new culture, a new paradigm, all that to be created, all that to be put in the forefront.
Exactly.
So moving forward 30 years from now, we're still not dealing with the same issue.
Yes.
And that's one of the problems
exactly.
I think now is we didn't necessarily heal in the past. We didn't necessarily have mechanisms in place to actually move forward positively, kind of put band-aids on things
exactly.
instead of actually going for the healing.
Right.
All right. So, remember, Tallahassee Community Healing Days will be held October 14th through the 16th at the Hi-Fi Jazz Cafe, which is located at 617 South Adams Street here in Tallahassee, Florida. Friday, October 14th, the events will start at 6 p.m. So after you get off of work, make sure you come on over to Hi-Fi Jazz Cafe at 6 p.m. and hang out with us. Saturday, we'll start at 9:30 a.m. and go to 7 p.m. And Sunday, we'll start at 2 p.m. and go to 6 p.m. Remember, at the Hi-Fi Jazz Cafe. So you have to come out. You have to get this information. You have to sit through the different sessions that we have. Come learn some ninjutsu. Come learn some African dance. We're going to be honoring our foremothers. It's going to be a great event for us to actually heal as a community and to build, to start to build as a community, because we have to start doing something different.
Can I say one thing? I do want to invite people to go to our Facebook page.
Okay, yes.
Tallahassee Community Healing. And also, we want to recognize our youth in the community, so we want to invite people who know African-American youth who made significant contributions to our community to submit their names for recognition on this Sunday.
Okay.
And also, people who have various talents, whether it's dancing, singing, spoken word, music, whatever it happens to be, that they might use those talents to offer a performance around honoring our foremother.
Okay. Remember, go to the Facebook page, the Tallahassee Community Healing Days Facebook page, like the Facebook page, and we would gladly appreciate your donations. If you go to the Tallahassee Community Healing Days Facebook page, you will see the link where you can actually donate to Tallahassee Community Healing Days, and your contributions will go to help make sure that our community is getting better. You're actually donating to a great cause. So remember, October 14th through the 16th, and we're going to make sure that you have all the information that you need to heal yourself and to create a legacy of healing and a legacy of health for our black community. So with that being said, remember, the Freedom Train will be back next week. We're actually following up with part two of the Independence Day Project with Professor Carl Tone Jones, where we're talking about what an independent black community looks like. So make sure you stay tuned on the Freedom Train podcast series, and you know how we do. We will see you next time.